Hey, this is Pat Shand, writer of Robin Hood, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 308. That's right, folks, 308 episodes. We are back with another con recap. I think I can safely say this now, that this will be the last con recap of 2022. I think now con season major con season is over. I am here with longtime collaborator of the Geekcast Radio Network. He hasn't been on in a long time. I don't actually remember the last time he was on, but it is the former Movie Revolt, current comic concierge, is Dan Clark. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, it's been a while, you know.
Yes.
I had to dust off the podcast. My kid had a little dust
on it. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. It's the way it goes when you don't use it after a while. You gotta retrain yourself on how to do all that stuff. And Dan is here because Dan attended all the days of Baltimore Comic-Con 2022, which was from Friday, October 28th to Sunday, October 30th, so right before Halloween. Did they have a Halloween costume contest?
I mean, they had the cosplay contest and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, but there wasn't a specific separate – okay.
No, it was just – they I think there was some stuff off-site for Halloween that was like costume contests, but – you know, I mean, the thing about it's kind of perfect timing because it's, you know, comics are comic cons and cosplay and dressing up going hand in hand. So it's like, you know, it's a lot of synergy there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So how many years have you been going to this convention?
I was actually just thinking of that. I think it's been about like 8 years or so. I missed the last 2 years. They didn't have it in 2020 because of that, you know, whole global pandemic thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't go last year. I just wasn't ready to go to like a massive con. But before that, I was going pretty much every year. So I think 8 or 9 years ago was the first time I went. So
very cool. Very cool. I will say, and this has been a good what?
Yeah, probably about that because it was the first. It's probably about that long. So,
very cool, very cool. I will say that, since I've been doing these con recaps, part of it is obviously pulling up the convention website to make sure you have all the correct information, the right dates, the this, that, and the other thing. And of course, once the convention is over, the first thing the homepage of any convention website is going to do is, here, buy the tickets for next year. What about the convention that just happened less than, you know, a week ago or whatever? You know, that's been a running gag on these cons where I just completely bitch about the website. So I'm saying this now to get this out of the way. So I'm not sitting here bitching. I will say Baltimore Comic Con's website, by far, out of all between them, San Diego, Emerald City, Rose City, between all the Read Pop other ones that Read Pop, Baltimore has by far the easiest and best website design and best website links. And I'm like, oh, this is refreshing. This is great.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. I don't think they have next year's dates up yet. They usually do, but they don't. It's actually much later than it used to be. Like, it used to come in between San Diego and New York. It would be Baltimore, but in the last few years, it's come. It's been like the last big major con. I mean, it's nowhere the size of a San Diego or New York.
Yeah, but it's big enough where it's in that same it's mentioned in that same vein.
Like, it's a comic book con. Like, it's put the comic and comic con because there are some celebrity guests. Like, John Leguizamo was the biggest guest like of this year, and sometimes they've had Hayley Atwell, some of the people from the Netflix shows. But the focus is, which is why I love Baltimore Comic Con, is it's primarily on comic books and comic book creators. And it has a plethora of great and iconic creators. Like this week, you know, it had Jim Lee, Frank Miller, Tom King, Jim Starlin, Will and Laura Simonson. So like, and this year was actually, I feel like, a little bit less than past years when some of the bigger names, but there's still, there was some, it's, if you love comic books, it's
yeah,
a great place to go, because it's, it sometimes when you, I've gone to New York Comic Con and it's like comics are an afterthought. It's all about the media guests and stuff like yep. that. But it's nice going to a place like this and even talking to the creators and things. They make it very evident. It's like why a lot of those creators go to that con is because they're treated so well. Because sometimes in those like New York Comic Cons and San Diego's that like that are heavy on media, comic book guests are like segregated into their own little section. They don't get nearly the stuff that the other guests do. So it's sometimes it's a bit of a bummer. So it's good to have cons like this that can focus primarily on the comic book creators.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was one of those things where when we had released episode 307, when we did New York, the whole reason why I reached out to my buddy, author, comic books, author and writer, Pat Shan, to do the New York Comic Con recap is I wanted New York Comic Con from the point of a creator, of a point of someone who is going there to work, but also has had history with that convention of going over the years as a fan as well. And at the end of that episode, I said, oh, so what's, are you done for the year? And he's like, oh, I've got this and I've got that. And I think I'm going to Baltimore. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I had mentioned to you off air, I said, oh yeah, by the way, if you run into Pat Shan, tell him I said hi. And there'll be a photo in the post, folks, of Dan and Pat hanging out together for, at least one photo op, because I was like, that's cool. It's not often I can record with somebody on recapping a convention and then the very next month, week, whatever, it's like, oh, throw a stone. Here, I can hit one of my podcasting buddies and one of the people I've interviewed four separate times on this network.
Yeah. So that was very nice meeting you. I went onto a table on Sunday and we had a little conversation, so it was very, very nice cool. meeting.
Yeah, he's awesome. He is very, very awesome. All right, so you went to all the days. What was your goal this year? Was it just to hang out? Was it just to visit with people? Was it just to shop stuff? What was your ultimate goal going this year?
So this year I wanted to do something I haven't done in the years past. So each year Baltimore Comic Con does a yearbook, which may seem weird, but it's actually really cool. So each year they do this yearbook and they focus on a different creator or property. Like in the past, it's been Archie, Black Sand, also Mouse Guard. This year it was on the work of Jill Thompson and Scary Mother. And what they do is that they pick that topic, and then for all the artists, not all the artists, there are a lot of the artists there, they'll have those artists contribute work that kind of combines what they're known for with that artist or their interpretation of that artist's design. So Jill Thompson is known for Scary Godmother. It's like I didn't know much about it, but apparently it's a cartoon. It's originally a comic that's been adapted in different media. So I picked that up, and what's a cool thing is they give you this little like card to go along with it. It looks like a voting ballot when you're going around, and you go around to the different tables, and you can get these creators to sign it. If you get like 20 some signatures, you get additional prints to go along with it, and it's really just an excuse to kind of go around and be able to get something signed by a creator. Being able to meet them, they can also kind of give you an idea of like, give you their spiel. And it's a variety of different creators, some that are really well established, some that are more up and coming. So that was kind of cool to do that. Like I wanted to do that this year cause I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what my goal usually is, like to take some of the books I have and get signed, but that can also be pretty, take a lot, pretty heavy on your back. But that was, I also brought a bunch of books to meet out with different creators to get things signed. Like, met with, Tom King and Mitch Gerards and got their, One Bad Day Riddler book signed, that they did together that came out earlier this year, which was a really great comic. Also met with, Ed Piskor from, if you know him from Hip Hop Family Tree, as well as his, cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel, really popular comic book cartoonist and YouTuber. Met with him and got this huge Hip Hop Family Tree special edition that he signed. It has like multiple copies. He like did a lot of signatures with it. He was really nice. Got a picture with him as well. Met with some others. Andrew Aiden, who may not be a name that everyone knows, but if you ever heard of the March trilogy, it's, you know, one of the most acclaimed comics in the past decade. Also run, he did that with civil rights icon John Lewis. Talked to him some, got, I have those books and got those signed. So it's just kind of a nice, I don't like, I'm not a person that ever buys something comic book wise in order for like financial reasons. It's more sentimental right. value and things like yeah. that. So it was just kind of, it was cool to get it signed and then also, you know, have that conversation. And Jin Yu Yang, who is currently working on Shang-Chi, he did Superman Smashes the Clan. I got some stuff signed by him as well. A Shang-Chi issue was well with his Dragon Hoops book, having a conversation with him because he's also a former teacher and things like that. So I was talking about some of the stuff he did in the past. And some of these people have different, like, it was great because he didn't really have any line, so it was easy to go up and have a conversation. Right. Tom King and Mitch Gerards had a pretty hefty line. There are some people I wanted to meet that I didn't get a chance to. Walt Simonson and Laura Simonson, their line was just, like, always long. I even got in there on Friday early, and like, I saw one gigantic line. I'm like, who's this for? And it's like Walt Simonson, which honestly I kind of love. I love that there's this huge line for Walt Simonson and Laura Simonson when, you know, they really, you know, they're icons of the industry and that people mm-hmm. are still appreciating their work and, you know, lining up like that all weekend long to get to meet them. They're also super nice. And I didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
It's always nice to meet those people and those creators that are the humblest of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you hear a name like Walt and Laura Simonson, and then you go either Google them or look them up on Wikipedia if you don't know their work or if whatever. And then you look at their body of work and it's like, oh, legend. Okay. It's nice when the legends are basically everyday people.
Yeah, I find honestly that is that's mostly the case with the comic book community. Like Jim Starlin, yeah. he was there, and you know, he made the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, the Marvel made billions off that. Unfortunately, he didn't get nearly that much from them, but like he's, you know, really nice, open, friendly to talk to and stuff like that. So that was really cool. I didn't go, like I went with my friend Greg, who I did Talking with Circles with back in the day, and mm-hmm. He goes for key issues and things like that. He picked up the first issue of the first appearance of Mystique, I think, and some. He also got on Jim Chung's sketch list, you know, people, because he's big in the original art. I would love to do that. It's just really, really expensive, so I don't.
Oh yeah.
Get into that quite yet, but I do look at the comics, see if I can get some good deals. I didn't buy anything amazing. I was excited to pick up the second volume of Criminal deluxe edition for only $20 when it's like originally $50, and it's not currently in print. And it picked up some other like issues of past issues of Criminal and Incognito and Sleeper from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, because they're, what's interesting with that is that with Sleeper is that it was done by the Icon imprint, which doesn't exist anymore with Marvel, so it's right. kind of just out of print, but I was able to pick those up for really cheap, so I didn't spend much. I almost bought the first appearance of Destro in a comic, but I, because, you know, I was like, you know, the G.I. Joe's comic is ending this year,
yep.
So I was like, I was thinking about it. I ended up not pulling the trigger, but because I usually love going to panels. And they had some really good ones this year, but I missed them. Like there was one on, because we've unfortunately lost so many amazing creators this past year, from you know, Tim Sale to Neil Young and stuff like that. They were doing some panels on, but unfortunately I missed them because I was either in line or I got in too late. So I missed, this is the first year I didn't go to one panel, which was disappointing. But the good thing is, like I said, I spent more time on just kind of perusing and, meeting up with different people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of the, like you said earlier, with Leguizamo and and Jim Lee and Frank Miller there, and then you have the roundup of the Disney princesses and all that. And
yeah, it's a very good family friendly event too, because they have like a center that's kids for comics. That's mm-hmm. specifically designed for kids comics, and they do different activities and stuff like that for kids throughout the weekend. So, but I didn't do any of the celebrity meetups. There's like a specific meetup with Frank Miller. There's a specific one with Jim Lee that you have to pay extra for.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. That's not really, I would maybe do it if it was like my favorite creator, like Jeff Lemire or Ed Brubaker, but I'm not the biggest, I like Jim Lee. I'm not the hugest Jim Lee fan. I like Frank Miller, but it's, I don't really want to say
I'm not
the biggest Frank Miller fan. I mean, I'm not like, I like his stuff, but I'm not going to go out of my way to, I usually attend his panel cause that's free and it's interesting hearing him talk, but yeah, that type of stuff, it's not usually what I'm into. So.
All right. So what was the atmosphere like on Saturday?
So Saturday, like I talking to a lot of the creators, like who went the year prior, they mentioned that it felt like it was back to what it was before the pandemic. Like they had it last year, but it just wasn't quite there. It was pretty empty, but Saturday it was like you were at a Comic-Con again. It wasn't like, but it also wasn't like the point where you can't move, you know, cause sometimes you see those things where it's like, you just like, you can't even move around at all. So it was a good balance. It felt like you had, and Saturday also was usually the day where you have the most people dressing up in costumes and stuff. And there was some really great cosplay. There was, this, and I put some of this on my TikTok at Comic Concierge. So this dude dressed up as Nimrod from the X-Men, like that was really impressive. Great, like Predator that I saw. There was a lot of really impressive and creative cosplay. One of the most creative ones was someone who combined, you know, with the Disney princesses being there, mm-hmm. combined Ariel and the Mandalorian, which I thought was not something I would combine one, you know, in my head, but it actually turned out pretty cool. So
that would
it was nice, you know. Yeah. That's what, like, you know, if you're a people watching person, like Comic-Con is like the best place to go, because you never know, like, you know, just with it, what people can do with cosplay right now is pretty impressive. So
yeah, the cosplay community has gotten to the point where it's just beyond. Can't believe I just pulled a Spider-Man line. It's beyond amazing, damn it, because it is. These artists who put these costumes together are just amazing, because they love the characters and they want to make something unique and make it. The whole point of, at least to me personally, the whole point of doing any kind of cosplay is you end up doing a double take. Like if you're walking by and you see a kid in a full on, you know, whether it's 3D printed, whether it's constructed, but basically a full-on Optimus Prime suit. You know what I mean? Like, and you can't see the kid, but you know it's a kid. You know what I mean? Like that's just awesome. Where you know, you have various people that do Spider-Man or Black Cat or whatever versions, or you have people doing the Hulk and things like that, and it's just cosplay has always been so cool. I know there has been a lot of things in the cosplay community over the years that may not have been so great, but just overall in general, it's like, holy crap, these people are amazing designers.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive. Yeah. But gotten pretty like incredible what they're able to achieve. And it's just nice to see people, you know, put that time and effort in. So that was, but also it was kind of cool too, because it with it being Halloween, you also saw a lot of kids just like in their Halloween costume and just excited to like take pictures with these, you know, with these people. So yeah, it was always a good atmosphere at Baltimore, especially this year. It seems like people were in good spirits and stuff like that. And as I went around to the different creators, it seems like people were doing well. You know, it's, you always want, I always feel bad too, because like, you know, it's got to be tough for those creators, because like there's so many people out there. And
yeah, there's just, yeah, it's, And the thing is, like you mentioned earlier, and like we've said in the other con episodes, we're getting back to a point where conventions in person are a thing again. And is it slow going? I think it should be. I don't think we need to rush into a million people. Not that there's going to be a million people at Baltimore Comic. You know what I mean, though? Like, it doesn't need to be like, oh my God, we can all go outside again. Oh my God, we need to do this. Just this slow progression of getting back into the groove of, and things have changed and things need to change. You know, change is constant and everything else. But, you know, I wish half the cons that, you know, that we talk about are, I wish they would have gone like, look, I get it. San Diego is San Diego. New York's New York. And that's fine. But why not bring back San Diego from 30 or 40 years or whenever the hell it will? You know what I mean? Like, why not bring back the smaller scale type stuff?
It's certainly harder to do. I mean, it's hard to do. Like, it's hard to move back. And maybe, like, when the movies, if the movies ever start being less popular, it will happen. But I also think it's kind of like it's good having a mixture. You know, it's good having those big cons to kind of do what they do. And I do wish there were more comic book cons that were comic focused, because you get some of the smaller ones too that are like, it's basically a wrestling con because it's just a lot of former wrestlers. Yeah. This one is, I think, is really well established. There's like the Heroes Con in North Carolina that I hear really good things about. So there are those staples out there that are kind of like that fit this bill. But So I know there's like some benefits to something like San Diego, but I know when it comes to the comic creators, like some of them don't even bother going to San Diego since it kind of, they can get lost. I feel like New York is a little bit better of a mix because I do feel like there's a lot of comic book news in New York, but still it's, yeah. You know, it's harder to get those crowds when you're just focusing on comic creators.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it always like, just in general, like I said, 20, 30, 40 years ago, wasn't it always California was Hollywood, California was this?
And it started once the movie started getting big, you know, like I don't know what exact year that was, probably, you know, around the time of Spider-Man movies and stuff like that became, I think, from what I remember, I think one of the movies that helped make Comic-Con really like put a lot of focus in it was 300, if I remember correctly, because like that got a huge push at San Diego Comic-Con or one of the comic book cons, and ended up being, you know, hugely successful. So people looked, oh, you know, this movie was really popular at San Diego Comic-Con. Let's put all the focus there. And it's honestly, I think from what I've heard, it's actually gone. It's died down a little bit compared to what it used to be.
I noticed a couple of people doing recaps from San Diego this year, and it was a little bit calmer than it had been. Obviously, they did Comic-Con at home the last couple of years before this year. But
yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm not, you know, I say in every one of these episodes, I'm not a convention goer. I used to be when I was a kid. Like, my mom would take me to various things if I like, and when I say, you know, as a kid, it's like, oh, let's go see the Carl Casper custom auto show and watch Gravedigger do something to somebody else's whatever. And, you know, or let's go meet David Hasselhoff, or let's do this, or let's do, you know, it was all those kid kind of things. And now as an adult, it's like, I can't, even if the crowd is thinned out, I cannot do crowds. And I look at convention centers and I'm just like, I'll watch it on YouTube.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
So, yeah, I do think there's some benefits for San Diego Comic-Con because it, you can put a lot of attention on things. And it's been, you know, pretty much that way for, I think it was like the movie 300 that kind of sparked all the attention into San Diego, because that movie did really well. And people looked at it because it was such a huge thing in San Diego, and it kind of caused this trend.
Yeah.
I don't remember that correctly, but I believe I am. But I know it's kind of died down over the last few years, by the nature of everything. You know, Yeah, I think it's good just having a variety. And but I'm, you know, personally, like, San Diego is not something I have much desire to go to. I haven't gone to New York Comic Con, but I think with Baltimore, it's a good mixture of, like, it's big, it's not too big. I'm not like a huge crowd person either, but I feel like it's spread out really nice, and like I never feel like I can't get around, or like I'm not, I can't like get to where I need to be really easily. So like that's where, like, you know, I don't feel like the agoraphobia is kicking in quite yet, where it has been, even like when I've gone to like sporting events or something like that. So,
yeah. I mean, the thing is with the conventions, it's like, and regardless of how big any convention has gotten, if they pack too much in, like, technically, San Diego is either, take your pick, land or world, but it's essentially Disney of comic conventions, even though it rarely has anything to do with comics, but they pack so much in. Like, I think this year they started, they had 5 days or whatever, late, or not last year, but before the thing, you know, before all that thing, you know, like 2019 or 2018 or 20, like I remember we did an SDCC recap sometime like 2012 or 2013 here on Geekcast Radio. And it was so big. Like, you had William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and this and that and whatever. You had this, you had, and it's like, oh, like, you have all these conventions, and now you have toy companies specifically. Like, oh, well, we're going to make our own convention and just do our own announcements. You know, screw the Comic-Con crowd, whatever. And that's fine. It is what it is. But, like, the whole point, what I'm trying to say is here, is that I like what everyone has told me when I ask them about, like, the layout and how everything is presented within the space that the convention has. Everybody's like, yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be. Like you just said, everything's more spread out. Everything is, you know, people aren't bumping into each other. I mean, there may be a little bit of that, but it's more of like, you know, it's once in a while that may happen now because of everything that we've all gone through over the last 2 or 3 years. And it's like I said before, some things need to change, even though change is difficult. I don't know.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Sundays are usually like convention wind down days. Everybody's packing up, ready to go home. But what were you doing on the Sunday?
So my Sunday, I was mostly focused on finishing up my last signatures on that yearbook. You know, I had a few to kind of finish up. I didn't get every signature on the card. There were some people that were only there certain days or not, didn't show up or what have you. But, you know, that was kind of what I looked at the most. I looked around to see if I could pick up anything. I kind of looked more so in Artist Alley and stuff like that, like not to the established creators, just because it's interesting seeing those people that are just trying to make it and what they have. And I got some stuff from this one artist that was like did some really cool like dragon stuff, and also like took the Maryland flag and made stickers out of it using, you know, in the shape of things like the Rebel signature from Star Wars and things like that. So, very cool. On Sunday, with it being a little bit less busy, I try to focus mostly on that, like some of the Artist Alley, because the Artist Alley was pretty big this year. There was a lot of people, and it's just interesting seeing how many like amazingly talented artists that there are. And it's always kind of fun, like hoping like you'll get that piece from that one person, and like 2 years from now, they'll be, you know, blowing up and being that huge star. But you'd be like, hey, I remember when they were, you know, just an Artist Alley. And so, but yeah, I don't know if I, you know, there's anyone I saw that I was like, oh, that's that person. But there's certainly a lot of, you know, a talented artist out there.
Yeah, there's at least over 300 artists that are listed here. And again, going back to the website, what I love the layout, because it's just like whenever we post a podcast, whoever I post a podcast with, I try my best to get all of their links that they want me to put, like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And that's the cool thing about the Baltimore Con website, is like, if they have all, like I see, the Shadow Bindery. They only have two links, but I see other things with, like, you know, Facebook and website and Instagram. So they have a link. So you don't have to go, like, you don't have to just Google the names. Yeah. The links are all right there. You can go to each of their, and it's not just with Artist Alley. It's with all of the stuff. And again, it's just so awesome, so good. And yeah, support the local artists, support the up and coming artists. But at the same time, you know, you still want to, if you can, get, you know, those famous people.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could, if I had gone, or if I was able to attend any of these things, and Jim Lee, I don't know if I could stop myself from asking him questions that probably I shouldn't ask him.
Well, it's hard to even get to that point. Like, he did have a panel on a Friday. Mm-hmm. I missed it, but what's kind of cool is he'll usually do, like, in his panels, he'll do a sketch, and I'll kind of you get to see him kind of draw in live action. And he's led an interesting life, because, you know, he's been all over comics for such a long time.
Yeah.
So, but he was only there, I think he was only there one day. And they used to do, like, they used to have, like, a DC panel and a Marvel panel, and right. they haven't done that. And I think mostly because since it's happening after New York, like, all the announcements and stuff like that have pretty much been announced at this point. People are kind of packing it up a little bit for the end of the year. So I didn't really have any of those, but, they've had more, like, creator centric panels and things like that. So, but yeah,
that's very cool, very cool. Anything else we need to talk about with Baltimore? Was this year one of your favorites? Was it, how does this year rank compared to other years that you've gone?
It was different for me. Like I said, I didn't get to in any of the panels. I felt like the guest list of people, like, I typically wanted to see was a little less than normal, mostly because some of the people had a call, like Mark Waid, who's usually always there, wasn't able to make it and stuff like that. But there was still a good mixture.
Name? Mario. Last name?
Mario.
Okay, what's your name?
Luigi.
Luigi?
No, Luigi Mario.
Okay, look, how many Marios are there between the two of you?
There's three. There's Mario and Luigi Mario.
Mike, up these Marios around the side.
You know, it was a really solid year. I thought, like, you know, for I was missing it the last 2 years. It felt really good to be back, and I felt like it hasn't missed a step.
Well, Dan is literally everywhere on social media, folks. You, unlike me, because I'm old and crotchety, and I can't hip and hop with those TikTok peoples, but you have embraced the TikTok lifestyle. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. I have, about a year ago, I started doing a YouTube channel, and then I thought, you know what, let's do TikTok to try to, like, get attention for it, and then mm-hmm. I ended up enjoying TikTok more than YouTube. It's, you know, there's some benefits to both, but yeah, most of my stuff right now is on TikTok. I have had some videos up there from Baltimore Comic Con where I talk about the yearbook I mentioned, some videos of the people that I, the costumes and things like that, and also on Instagram, there's some photos of the people I met up with, like I mentioned, like Tom King with Sherrard and a few others, so you can find my stuff there. But right now, my best way to find my stuff is at Comic Con Tiers on TikTok.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I saw one of yours, I think, because I, like I said, I'm old and crotchety, and I don't like change. That's why I use a debit card. I don't need change. but I saw one of yours, because obviously it all cross-posts to our lovely website, geekastradio.com, and it was the She-Hulk one.
Where, oh, you're, yeah,
like, flipping out about the, oh my god, they did this. Oh my god, they did. Oh, heaven forbid. Like, I was like, yeah, he's right. Hey, I don't know what it is. And I've said this before in other shows. The MCU for me, outside of Wanda, Hawkeye, and Falcon and Winter, ended with Endgame. Like, that's the end of the story to that point. And I'm having a hard time. I refuse to watch. I don't care about Loki as a character, so why would I watch his show? Unless, you know, whatever. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we are at such a crossroads with MCU, and it's like, oh, Phase 4, what's in I said to somebody recently, I'm like, why the hell do I need to learn about the Eternals?
my She-Hulk video was more so a satire on
people. Well, yeah.
Got mad because, like, Daredevil was different, and I was just making fun of them because they also changed Frogman. I don't know. I've been enjoying some stuff in Phase 4. I really like Shang-Chi. I really enjoyed She-Hulk, honestly. I thought it was exactly what I wanted in a She-Hulk TV show. It kind of really fit that build pretty well.
Yeah.
If I never got another superhero movie, no matter what it is, I'd be fine with it at this point, honestly. Like, I'll catch them here and there. I am excited for Black Panther 2. That looks really solid. But I don't know. Like, they are where they are. I'm not like, I've never been like the, I'm not saying I'm burnt out. I just like, I like talking about other things. I'll talk about MCU stuff here and there, but usually as a bridge to talk about something else.
Yeah.
Because there's other people out there that focus much more on that are more into it like than I ever would be. So I like talking about comics. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing with me, it's like, yeah, I like it, but it's not. I like The Dark Knight, but The Dark Knight's over almost 15 years old at this point. But you know what I mean? It's like, I like the MCU. It's cool. It's fun. It's interesting what they've done so far with it. But this Phase 4 draft, I was like, okay, I'm going to move on to something else until something catches my eye or my ear and whatever. And like the Hawkeye show was good. Like I already said, Hawkeye was good and I liked that. And I just, like you said, you're right. You know, it is like old Edna used to always say, no capes. Well, at this point, the cape is basically, you know, burning the ground on us because it's like, holy crap, there is just so much. And there's so, like, I am so far behind in comics. I have, like, it's not even that I don't have nowhere to do a starting point, but literally, and I don't know who I'm going to, I think I'm going to end up doing this with one of my Canadian buddies, but I've had the 2014, I think at that point it was the Marvel Now, the 2014 Iron Man books, the Iron Man trades from 2014. It was right around the time of Extremis and things like that and whatever else. So I'm like, okay. I got to read this. I got to read that. I can't keep up. So for me, it's like with comics, it's like, oh, let's do this. Let's do that. Like I'm into Radiant Black from Kyle Higgins or Sean Murphy's Beyond the White Knight because I like his White Knight universe. Turtles and all that and everything else. But it's like, I don't remember the last time. Like I have Nightwing Volume 1 by, is it? Oh God, who is it?
Tom Taylor.
Yes. Yeah. Tom Taylor has it now, but I don't know if it was him that, was it always him doing it?
No, he didn't start. He started in issue 70, I think.
Yeah.
When he took over though, it's like,
I've heard nothing but good things.
I'm a little bit out of like weekly comics right now. I've been focusing mostly on original graphic novels and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a good thing about Marvel and DC is like, in most cases, you can just pick something up and you're fine. Like you can, you know, Chip Zdarsky just started doing Batman. You can pretty much pick it up from there, which is only a couple issues ago and you'll be fine. I mean, there are some, to me, like Marvel and DC are very much like pro wrestling, like WWE. Technically, they have stories that are going on and have been connected for the last 30 plus years. But in reality, you should be able to pick up what's going on right now. You know, pick up, watch an episode or read an issue and understand everything you need to. If you don't, then it's probably just a badly written comic that's relying too much on the past. Yeah. But I think you pick up, you know, you start something at a starting point, and it's, which is why I actually kind of like what they do when they like renumber it, when they get a new creative team.
Yeah.
Because it makes you realize, okay, this is a good place to jump in because they're starting something new. So it makes it people freak out about numbering of books, but it's just a number. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Absolutely. I think Baltimore Comic Con showed it's a golden age of comics because there's so much out there for different ways. Like kids comics are now better than ever. The amount of great kids comics that exist, and as well as just like other genres and stuff. It's great that like horror comics are popular as ever and all those other stuff. There's so much variety that exists, even like in how you consume them. You can do the monthly issues. You can do the trades. You can also like, you know, read them digitally through things like,
Kindle.
Comics on the web and stuff like that, or stuff like Hoopla. Hoopla is a great resource. It's free. You have a library. It has legitimately like tons of books on there, and a lot of stuff current as well. So if you're like yourself and don't like to go places or be around people or don't have a local comic book store near you, Hoopla is a good option. So
yeah, I like that. Okay, so. This is the first time, and I know this is Geekcaster, supposed to be convention, but we're talking about comics, and it ties into Comic-Con, whatever else. But over on the pullback, we did a bunch of episodes where you're just like, oh, that idiot, that stupid beehive guy buying out Comixology and ruining it by turning it. I still have the Comixology app on my phone. It still works. It still gets, you know, even though I have to buy the comics on Amazon's website, at least they still get delivered. But, like, I have a 32-inch flat panel monitor from my computer. Like, I want to be able to read the things on my computer the way I have been doing since 2013 with the pull bag, and that was through Comixology. And, like, Amazon did not have to change the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As much as they did.
Yeah, they really messed up Comixology. It was legitimately one of the best things in comics when it comes to like their app. It's been awful. I mean, Hoopla, I wouldn't say is a great app per se, but it's free and it's a good reason. It's more easy to navigate than something like Amazon. So,
yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing I hate about comics on Amazon right now is that you try to look up a book on Comixology and you'll get everything. So I wish they never did that, but you know, which is why we need another digital platform that's not just Comixology. It's why it's never good just to have one place to get it. So,
well, yeah, and I agree with that. But the thing of it is like I said, if it ain't broke, don't try to ruin it. Like, everything was, like, okay, Comixology as a company may have been bleeding money. They may have needed a savior, fine, whatever.
Well, they've been owned by Amazon for a long time.
I know, since 2014 or 2015 or whenever the, I don't remember. Anyway, the point is that all, like, Amazon did not have to fit them into Kindle. They could have just put Amazon.com/Comixology, and it would just go to the original website, how everything was supposed to, like, I can't, like, if I wake up on a Wednesday morning and I realize, oh, my comic didn't whatever, or didn't this or didn't that, or, oh, this site that I'm not even subscribed to came out, oh, I want to go grab it. Oh, well, I can't do that on the Comixology app. Hell, I can't even do that on Chrome on my, I have to actually get up out of bed, go to my computer, and get, so that's why I'm going through my entire Comixology, like I mentioned that 2012 Iron Man series, or, you know, older stuff, or, you know, even some of the newer stuff. I still get it, but, it, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. But Baltimore Comic Con 2022, very, very cool, very awesome. Sounds like it was, you know, just one of those really nice, low-key things. And again, where it falls, I mean, right before Halloween, it's the end. Most people, including me, you get to October 31st, you're like, okay, I'm resting until January 3rd. You know?
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily, okay, it's holiday time, but it's more like, hey, let's just take a break, everybody.
Yeah, it used to be Labor Day weekend, and then it got a little bit later in September, and now it's the end of October. So I kind of wish it was a little earlier. I'm not a huge fan of it being Halloween weekend because with kids and stuff like that, you have, like, I felt bad because there's, like, so much stuff we didn't do. Yeah. So, but you know, I get why they did it, so it makes sense. But.
Very cool, very cool. All right, folks, we're gonna get the heck out of here. Dan, where can the people find you online?
You can find me at Comic Concierge on TikTok. Is probably the best place to find my stuff.
Very cool, very cool. We are at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can always visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Check out all the content over there. And next time, I don't know, folks. I don't have a plan. I think my buddy Josh and I are going to do something, but I have no clue. No clue. So we will talk to you soon here on Geekcast Radio. Unleash the geek in you.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast to your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Markham 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Markham 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Oh, hey, I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the Geekcast Radio Network. We are Tooncast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy toon talk, and now we get the origins of toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all toons all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
Hey, bub. I keep telling you, don't call me Wubby! Snicked.
You've just listened to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.